You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So, tell me about the guy.
You know what's really special about our relationship? The total understanding about the need for one's privacy. I mean, you really understand boundaries.
So tell me about the guy.
Mom!
Is he dreamy?
Oh, that's so Nick at Night.
Well, I'm gonna find out anyway.
Really? How?
I'll spy.
La la, la la, la. La la, la la.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to You've Been Gilmored. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Gilmore Girls on Netflix. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or your favorite pint of ice cream and enjoy the show.
La la.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I just love Luke. I love Luke. I think
really?
He is the absolute best. Even though he had like three lines, just the way that he was introduced in this episode was perfect Luke. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Even when he took it, I didn't realize, I forgot how bad his hairline is.
Why, he wears a hat?
Man, he's got one big peninsula right
here. He does.
Like, it goes, his... Right there, it goes all the way up here, like mm-hmm. where I'm pointed, like to the middle of my head, and then the peninsula goes like down to his eyebrows.
You know what's tough is that's what our child, our 1.5-year-old baby Felicity's hairline looks like right now. So at least he could say that. But yeah, that's probably why he wore a hat for so long.
Yeah, I would imagine. And you know, did you notice that his hat was different in this episode, by the way?
It was
a blue hat, but it had an American flag on it.
Hey, fancy
and
pants.
In later episodes, it was just a plain blue hat.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. I wonder why.
Maybe the critics who got to watch the first episode. You know what? That American flag is just way too distracting. Way too distracting.
Hey, Ben DeCastro is on the live thing. And for any of you who are watching live, thank you. And for those of you who are not watching live, we kind of did this very quickly. We didn't really advertise it or whatever. But next time, please look out on the Mary and Blake website or Mary and Blake Facebook to see exactly when this is going to go live, so you can join us live, and hopefully more people come. Actually, they're already coming.
Yay!
We're told that Lorelai gives him the other hat. That's right. You know, what the hell was I thinking?
You haven't rewatched everything as much as you're supposed to, so
that's
don't
right.
you worry.
That's right.
Padawan. So basically, as we talked about last episode, we're going to be breaking down the top 12 best episodes of the Gilmore Girls in their first 7 seasons, mm-hmm. pre-Netflix. And we have decided to break it down in character, best episode for character, except for this one, because this is the pilot episode. And how could we start a Gilmore Girls podcast without addressing the pilot?
I mean, this is
what started it all.
Yeah.
This is what laid the foundation for the characters, for the town, for the scenarios, the family dynamics that we were going to be in. So Blake just watched the pilot for the first time, because when I was watching Gilmore Girls during my pregnancy, he didn't start to tune in until a little while later. So as we were rewatching it a couple hours ago, I said, Blake, this is your first pilot. Like, you don't even know why Friday Night Dinners began.
That's correct.
You don't even know how many cups of coffee Lorelai really drinks before she gets to Luke's in the morning. This is going to be fantastic. So, congratulations on watching the pilot.
Thank you. I'm deserving. I know.
Yes.
And I got to tell you. Well, you know, we'll save. Well, yeah. I'll save the reactions. But for the meantime, I love. What do you have for your GBG? What's the good, bad, great for you?
The good, bad, great
for the pilot.
For the pilot episode, my good is goodness gracious, Emily Gilmore. You know, when you rewatch the Gilmore Girls, You get the little great feelings inside, and you laugh even harder at Emily's lines, at just the snarkiness of her tone and her facial expressions. So I just love that woman. My bad for the pilot episode is the slightly creepy factor of Dean. Now, here's the thing. Originally, when I saw this episode by myself, I loved it. I was like, oh, Dean totally watches Rory all the time. He says he's been watching her
a lot.
And he watches her, all the books that she's reading, and he notices all these things about her. And then Blake pointed out just a couple hours ago that this reminded him a lot about Twilight and how Edward Cullen would watch Bella and just, oh, I've been watching you. So even Dean in this episode says, like, in a non-creepy way, but... yeah, now that I watched it thinking about Twilight, it was a little creepy. So that's the only bad that I had. And my great is Lorelai's realness of what it's like to be an adult. Okay, oh. So Lorelai, I actually wrote in their show notes, hashtag adulting, because that's now a little phrase that people our age often say. You know, when I was younger, I thought adults had their act together. I really was like, oh, once you're an adult, you know the answers to everything. You're not going to freak out. You're not going to be nervous about stuff. And the truth of the matter is that is a lie. And you're constantly feeling like you don't know what you're doing and you're figuring out life as you go. And in this episode, we got to see that realness of Lorelai. Here she is, a mother. She's an established businesswoman. She seems like she's got her life together, her act together. In each episode, you know, in each scene, she's all dressed up. She looks perfect. She's fantastic. And then we see her freaking out because the tuition letter came in. Mm-hmm. And you see, oh my God, I have family issues. And you realize this beautiful, perfect looking woman is just an adult like the rest of us who have no idea how to sail through
life. I would argue she's not even an adult. She's a kid. I would argue that...
Am I a kid? Because I feel like I'm Lorelai.
Well, no. I don't. You shouldn't feel like it. You are Lorelai. Okay. I mean, I married Lorelai Gilmore. I really did. Like, there's a lot of guys out there that have said, oh, God, I wish I had Lorelai. I wish I found her. I wish that she's there. I'm lucky enough to say that I certainly did marry Lorelai. I mean, the way that Mary acts, she's an adult, but she's not. And it's cute. It's funny. The things that she says and the things that she does and how she interacts with her parents, how she interacts with my parents, like all of it. And with her kids and me and all, it's just the quick little lines. She is Lorelai Gilmore. And of course, it doesn't help that she's gorgeous too.
Look at her right in her Darth Vader shirt. My Darth Vader shirt, exactly. How about you? What was your good, bad, great for this pilot episode?
All right, my good was the beginning, the guy hitting on Lorelai,
yes,
and then Rory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it was. I'm going to get into this later, but the way that this show introduced itself was absolutely perfect. You had everything you needed to know about Lorelai within that first 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That she loves coffee. She goes to Luke's. She goes there often, and she sits down. She's young. She's pretty. She's vibrant. And that guy goes to hit on her, but she doesn't really care. She's not worried about guys. And then Rory comes in. The guy starts hitting on Rory, and then she goes, "Hi, welcome to hitting on my daughter. She's 16." and she goes, and then Rory. What she does is absolutely stunning. It shows you the kind of relationship that they have, where they're immediately in tune, and Rory says, "Are you my new daddy?"
Love it.
That,
love it.
In and of itself, is the perfect Gilmore Girls moment, because mm-hmm. it shows their relationship instantly, just like that. You know, it was perfect. My bad. How they portrayed Richard Gilmore, okay, the father, in this episode. I really didn't like what they did to Edward Herman. How they, you know, like when he's not paying attention to anything, he's falling asleep at the dinner table. To my recollection, he is not that kind of character later on in the show. Now, mm-hmm. I'm sure that because he's icy towards Lorelai and is enveloped in his insurance business, I get it. I understand that that's probably how they wanted to portray him in the pilot. And I'm sure that Edward Herman kept, you know, getting more comfortable with the character, they started writing more for him,
yeah,
and giving him a little bit more substance. But what they did to that character is you didn't like him.
I know.
You didn't even want to like him. Because at least with Emily, you kind of got it, right? You kind of got why she was pissed off at Lorelai. And she wasn't even pissed off. It was more like, where you been? And like, the other thing too was Richard was intent on saying, you need money. to Lorelai.
Just
you need money.
Sticking it over and over and over again.
And it didn't feel like it came from a good place. Whereas Emily, even though she busted Lorelai's balls, and even though they got in the fight later on in the episode, when she said, I want to be involved in your life. I want to be involved in Rory's life. You're going to have dinners. We're going to have the famous Friday night dinners. Mm-hmm. That came from a place of, I want to know my daughter again. I want to actually know my granddaughter outside of the holidays. Yeah. Right? I want to know. They kept on asking, is it Easter yet? Is it? Wait, is it Christmas?
It's not December. Yeah.
What holiday is it now? Mm-hmm. She wants to know more about them. That is awesome. And this is the beautiful thing about this show. You don't have to get all that deep about this show. You don't have to go crazy with it. It's just about the characters' motivations and what they are and what they want. And what Emily wanted was great. What Richard did was just fall asleep. There was nothing to him. And I didn't even like him.
That's okay. They developed funny, him later.
Which is because I like him much,
yeah.
A lot, later, much later on. And the great. The great is the complete organic beginning to this show. Immediately. You were introduced to Lorelai, to Rory. You knew their relationship. You're introduced to Luke, the diner. You're introduced to Sookie in a funny way, even though it was a little hammy with her banging into things.
Just breaking constantly. Everything, yeah.
Because to my recollection, I don't remember that as much.
She wasn't as clumsy and hurting herself literally every 2 minutes during the entirety of the show. I
That's
agree
what
with
I'm getting
you.
At. Yeah. But they gave you information without just being like, oh, hi, I work at the Independence Inn. It was almost like you were dropped in as a viewer into Stars Hollow when the story had already begun. It almost felt like we were in episode 4 as opposed to the pilot episode, which it's kind of like Indiana Jones, you know, like Indiana Jones shows up, he's in Raiders of the Lost Ark. You're just put into a situation. You're there. He's there with the golden thing. And he's got the bag of sand, and he puts it on the golden thing, takes it off the weight, and then the ball comes barreling down. Yeah. That's how I felt with, you know, with Gilmore Girls. Just no barreling
no,
ball.
Yeah,
and
ball falling.
But it's a complete organic beginning to this show. You had all the information. It wasn't just said, "Hi, you're in Stars Hollow." There's Lorelai, and this is her daughter Rory, and it didn't spell it out for you. You just were expected to know it because they dropped you in the middle of this town. Mm-hmm. Even with like the lady who does the teaching of the school, the dance school, she's sitting there ripping butts. And
Miss Patty.
She's ripping butts outside the door.
Well, like the little six-year-olds are doing ballet.
She's like, do you need to go pee-pee? Oh, no. So uncross your legs, honey. You know, that to me is perfect. That shows you the character. That shows you who she is and how she's already the mayor. You already know who she is, what her motivations are. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that was my great about this. You were just dropped in, and it was a completely organic beginning to this show. And you couldn't ask for anything better, really. I mean, you
could. I could have asked for something.
What could you have asked for?
Just a flash of Kirk.
Oh, yeah, Kirk
would
have been
good. That's the only thing that I was like, oh, okay. Like, I forgot that he wasn't in it. I thought at least I would see him sitting in the coffee shop.
That's true.
And maybe he was, but I feel like I would have noticed him.
He would have done something funky, like drop a cup or something.
Yeah, or like slipped or something, like quickly, just so we would see him. Right. I know that we didn't need him in this episode, but that was the one thing that I was like, I would have loved to see Kirk.
But as much as they didn't give that to you, they gave you a lot of Michelle.
Yes.
And Michelle was great because you could tell that instantly... he pretends that he hates his job, but he kind of loves it. And he pretends, he says to Lorelai, I despise you.
I love it.
I'm totally going to do the worst French accent this entire podcast.
You can't even
podcast.
Say Michelle.
I said Michelle, whatever.
I know.
Michelle. And he goes, I despise you. You know, and the back and forth that he and Lorelai have when she's making fun of his accent, she's like, I'm going to keep talking like this until you look at Rory's French paper. You know, mm-hmm. Like that was, again, it's an organic relationship. It doesn't have to be spelled out for you. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And you as the viewer have to keep up with it. And I got to tell you, at this time, what is this? Yeah, 2000, maybe 99 to 2000. Shows weren't like that at that point. Everything was spelled out for you, mm-hmm. Especially in the WB. Now, I know Ashley Crawley's going to get on me for this. And fine, Ashley, she's a listener, and she's actually the editor-in-chief of the Outlander Cast blog. She's going to get on me for it. I appreciate it. But it was a WB. I mean, it was a relatively fledgling network that had just begun not too far from this episode airing. What are we getting at, right? So anyway, my love, are you ready for? Are you ready to get into the show?
Yeah.
All right. Let's. Do you want a coffee rating? Yeah. You want to do coffee ratings?
I do.
Okay. Let's do coffee. What do you got for your coffee rating?
My coffee rating, 1 out of 5 would be a solid 4. A solid 4. I want to come back for more. It's not something that I need to. Oh my God! I can't wait to see what happens next week. I mean, knowing what it is, knowing that it's like a happy, awesome, great, happy show, I'm on board. A solid, good 4. How about you?
Wow. I am totally surprised.
That I didn't give it a 5?
No, oh. No. That I'm going higher than you.
Oh, this may go down in history. Pigs might be flying right now.
I can't believe this. I'm giving it a 4.7. 4.7 cups of coffee.
That's pretty much a 5.
That's basically a 5. And the reason why it doesn't get a 5 is because of how they treated Richard.
Okay.
I he's a better character than that, and you should have got hit more of his warmth. He didn't have to be warm to Lorelai, but he did have to show something to Emily about Lorelai, in mm-hmm. my opinion. Like, he actually cared, that he wasn't just like upset with her, pissed off. Yes, I'm sure he's pissed off because of Christopher and Lorelai leaving, and he's probably hurt. You need money, don't you? All that stuff. I get it.
But we got enough snarkiness from Emily. We didn't need it from Richard.
Right. But as a dad, he didn't even show much love towards Rory. He just handed her a piece of paper. You know, he handed her the paper on the...
Yeah, the newspaper.
Like, it's like he didn't even care. It's one thing to not care about Lorelai.
Okay.
But you gotta show care and concern for your granddaughter.
But on the other hand, this show being called The Gilmore Girls, we focused on the female relationships in this episode, and then they later develop Richard,
yeah.
Which I'm okay with. There can't be too many things. It's only a 42-minute show. They only have so much time. I can appreciate it, but I don't think we need to sink the ship for it. So I'm happy with their 4.7.
I'm saying the 4.7, in my eyes, it's probably a perfect pilot.
Aww.
It really is a perfect pilot. And for those of you who don't know, whenever you're doing like network television, at the time, and it's still like this now, but you know, for shows like The Leftovers or Outlander or Homeland, all those shows, they are ordered to series immediately because they're on pay cable networks. They know what they're getting into. For network television, just a regular broadcast, ABC, NBC, WB, AMC. Every show has to have a pilot, which mm-hmm. is the first episode. It's showing the executives, hey, this is the show we want to make. What do you think? Do you like it? And they base their decision to go to series off of the pilot. So what will happen is they'll show a pilot, and generally, I'd say about a month or two later, then they'll get into the rest of the series, because now they actually have to film it. They got the go-ahead from the network. So that's why generally any episode of television that you see from the first season, the first episode is called pilot, because it's their test.
Okay.
So that's that. And kudos to Denise Stewart, who is watching live. Thank you, Denise. She actually gave Mary the emojis of 4 coffee cups.
Oh, she also said, Blake, please don't have accents.
Oh, I'm totally doing the accents. I'm going to do so many accents that you guys aren't going to know who's speaking.
Well, luckily only Michelle has the accent. And Miss
I'm
Patty.
Going to talk like this from now on.
All right, let's head into the recap.
All right, let's do it. All right, you want the particulars for this episode?
I would love to know things about this episode.
All right, so the episode title, as we just mentioned, is Pilot, and for that very specific reason. And it was written by none other than Amy Sherman-Palladino, who is the showrunner of the show. If mm-hmm. you don't know what a showrunner is, go back to episode 1 of You've Been Gilmored, and I'll explain to all of you within the context of Gilmore Girls what showrunner is. And this one was directed by Leslie Linka Glatter. Now, I know, my love, you probably don't know who she is.
No.
And I'm probably sure that most of the other people who are watching this live or listening to this now don't know who she is. And that's okay, because I am a giant nerd and I do know who she is. She is She has lately become one of the premium female directors in all of television.
Wow.
In fact, she has directed some stunning work, has been nominated for multiple Emmys.
Good for her.
Multiple Emmys on Homeland, The Leftovers, Mad Men, True Blood, The Newsroom, The Walking Dead, The West Wing.
This girl is all over the place.
And she is just unbelievable.
Oh my gosh, Leslie.
Really?
Way to go.
It's like her and Michelle McLaren and Anna Forster are the top three female directors right now. And actually, Leslie Linka-Glatter was actually brought up to direct for Wonder Woman, the new one, the new DC movie. That's
very
just
cool.
That's just coming out. She didn't get it, but she was brought up to direct it. So she is kind of big time. She's in for her to be on the pilot of Gilmore Girls is actually kind of cool. And she actually ended up directing four total episodes for the Gilmore Girls later on.
Well done.
One of the things that we want to do, too, is best line of the show. And my best line came right before the Friday night dinner when Lorelai says to Rory, "Okay, look, I know you and me are having a thing here, and I know you hate me, but I need you to be civil, at least through dinner. And then on the way home, you can pull a Menendez."
I had no idea what that was. No idea. So, I like laughed because I'm like, "Oh, Lorelai, you're so funny. I don't know what a Menendez is, but I'm laughing."
So for those of you who aren't nerds like me, Eric and Lyle Menendez were, they were brothers who actually killed their parents.
Oh my gosh.
Because they grew up in like Beverly Hills Beverly Hills. And they were 18 and 21. And after a year of lavishly spending their deceased parents' money, Eric confessed to killing his parents, but they killed them. Just brutally murdered them in their house. And they said that they didn't do it. And they said that somebody robbed them or whatever.
So I
thought that was hysterical because pulling a Menendez at the time when this was written, was pretty apropos.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? So that was the best line in my eyes.
All right.
So how do you want to attack this episode, my love? Which way do you want to go with this?
Let's talk about Lorelai and Rory and what went down.
Okay. Well, because our next episode is the best Lorelai and Rory episode.
Yeah. So this can kind of lead up to it a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like this set the stage pretty well. I loved how that guy hitting on them in the beginning of the coffee shop set the stage that these two are pretty much equals. You know, the relationship with each other, how they were able to banter like you talked about. This isn't just your normal mother-daughter relationship. Mm-hmm. These girls, these women are honestly best friends. And I really, really liked that. And I liked how they did fight in this episode because as mothers and daughters often do, and even close girlfriends do, mm-hmm. you know, and I liked that. I liked how the realness of Rory is a very mature woman, mm-hmm. as we know. She's very brainy and book smart, and
she's probably more of an adult than Lorelai is.
I would disagree.
Really, you think so?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I mean, obviously she has her moments.
Rory has way too many moments to be called an adult. Rory's a nerd girl whose best friend is her mom, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's really great. But Rory is definitely a girl. And mm-hmm. we see that in future episodes and future seasons.
You see that in this episode.
Yes.
She wants to give up Chilton to go with Twilight Kid.
With Dean.
Dean, that's
yeah.
right.
So, I mean...
What are we talking about? By the way, the hair. Oh, my God.
Dean's hair?
Oh, my God. Jared Padalecki.
Brought you back, right?
Calm down.
I loved it. All he needed to do was a little one of these things. But I loved his whole look. I loved it. I was like, that is 2000, baby. The hair, the outfit, amazing. So was there anything that stood out to you about Lorelai and Rory that you found pretty unique in this episode?
And it's not necessarily that they are unique, but that the relationship that they share isn't forced. Mm-hmm. It's genuine. I mean, right off the bat, it felt completely natural to who they were. And I go back to that one line. It was, "Are you my new daddy now?" Like, they both bust balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely adored when they were both arguing after they got home after the Friday night dinner and talking to Miss Patty. And Miss Patty's like, "Oh, the boy, I got him a job. He's going to work at Dozie's. It's going to be great. I can't wait to see Dozie, by the way. Oh my God, I'm so excited." Lorelai immediately says, "Oh, so it's been about a boy. I'm so dense."
Uh-huh.
Let me guess. Is he tall, dark, and handsome? Beautiful eyes.
Is he dangerous?
Is he dangerous looking?
Does he ride a motorcycle?
Yeah. Because if you're going to throw your life away, you better have a motorcycle. That was almost the best line, because I have a motorcycle, by the way.
Okay.
And Mary hopefully hasn't thrown her life away quite yet. But
I haven't. Of course not.
Because I am tall. I'm tall, dark. She basically described me. I'm dangerous. I'm tall. I'm dark. I'm handsome. And I have a motorcycle, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say you're dangerous, though.
I'm a little dangerous.
In the kitchen.
You know.
We'll leave it there.
Listen, pot calling kettle black.
I didn't. Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Just.
I make a mean taco. I'm really good at tacos.
You
anyway,
are good at tacos. Anyway.
I know.
So she describes her. She's like, yeah, because you're me. And I know. And I can't help that I know because you're me. That is a really, I hate to use this word again, but it's an organic relationship. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And she's handling, it's almost like Lorelai didn't know how to argue with her daughter.
This is probably one of the first times they've had.
That's what I'm saying. She didn't know how. And because of that, you could tell her frustration.
She even said that. She said, you know, we pride ourselves on having a democracy relationship. And for the first time, I'm going to pull my mom card and you are going to Chilton on Monday morning.
And she so desperately does not want to become Emily.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying so hard to not do it.
Yeah.
Because she wants to. You can tell that she has been scarred indefinitely. And this is the beautiful part of this pilot. Yes, they did tell you. Lorelai left. They did tell you that she got pregnant when she was 16, and all this stuff came out gradually. But they're not getting into the rough details of it. They're allowing you to just get into there and sit with all that information, and then it will give you a little bit dribs and drabs, a little bit more, a little bit further, and that is the beautiful thing, because you can only infer what the parents actually did to Lorelai.
Mm-hmm.
Why she so desperately wanted to get away, get out of there. And she's like trying to, like, Lorelai is trying to impress her parents, talking about business, you know, business classes, and I just got back from college and this and that. And they both know it's full of shit, and she knows it's full of it, but she's still trying to keep up appearances. And the desperate move, that, like, the resignation in her eyes when she has to say to her mother, all right, I'll come to dinner.
Yep.
I can't, like, listen, I may or may not have a slightly contentious relationship with my family. And the acting and the writing is spot on. Spot on. Like, you love them. You want to do the right thing.
You know, you're in Facebook Live right now.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm fine with that. Because it's true. It is what it is. You love them. I do love my family. I love my family more than anything. But you just, there are just some things that they do and.
That only family can do when they really get you, when they dig it in.
Oh, you find yourself just the littlest things, just holding your fists as tight as you can. And you like that argument with the mother in the kitchen. And,
ugh.
Like, that is real. That is good.
All I heard was pie.
Yeah. When I was talking, I said everything. Your mother was like, you just said pie. Like, and she's trying to be normal. She's trying to be good. It just, I don't know, my love. I mean, as a woman, what is it like for you? I mean, how did you interpret this relationship? Is it real to you? Is it something that is fake? What did you think?
It came off very, very real. I mean, my relationship is nothing like Lorelai's and Emily's relationship, but I could tell you what, my mom riles me up like no one else, and I probably rile her up like no one else. In that sense, mothers and daughters, and even with Lorelai and Rory, you know, it's just a really interesting and sometimes intense, and yet you're my best friend, and you can piss me off really easily relationship. So mm-hmm. knowing what they've gone through, man, that's tough, and that I bet is realistic.
Well, I just don't like how Rory ends up deciding I'm throwing everything away for this boy.
That is a 16-year-old girl thinking of it. I mean, she ends up deciding later that same night that it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So Rory probably would have slept on it without the Friday night dinner and still decided to go to Chilton. I think that at 16, it's hard. We're not 16 anymore.
Right.
And I think back to being 16, this was the first guy to be interested in Rory. and he was a hot looking guy, and he really paid attention to her. It wasn't. Please, that hair was in then.
It was.
That hair was so in.
I have to admit, I had it.
Okay, see? So, of course she might be thinking, holy smokes, I'm not leaving. I finally have a really hot guy interested in me, and he seems pretty interesting. He's talking to me about Moby Dick. Like, I don't know, but luckily she came to her senses.
You know
she
he doesn't give one shit about Moby Dick.
Well, you're going to find out, because you haven't seen what happens.
But I don't know.
He's going to read Moby Dick.
That's because he just wants to get in on it.
So what? He's at least realizing he notices something about her.
You know, Seth Meyers had a great skit talking about Donald Trump the other day, where it was, you know, it's kind of like dating a girl. You tell her that she asks you to go apple picking, and you say yes, because you want to convince her that you like apple picking and that you like the whole deal. But you hate apple picking. And once you start really dating, no more apple picking ever again, because apple picking sucks.
Oh my God, stop it. I love apple picking.
I mean, oddly enough, I actually like apple picking too. But I think for the most part, no guy or even a girl, none of them want to really go apple picking, right? It is what it is. I don't know. What do I know? I'm just
you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Apparently not. So what else stood out to you about this episode? Because I think we are coming on, we're at a half hour mark already.
All right. Well, I think the only other things that really stood out to me is I loved Luke. I loved how he told it as it was. You know, red meat will kill you. How many cups of coffee?
And he tells Rory, listen, don't be like your mom. Don't do it. And I almost played that clip at the beginning of the episode too, because, and then she says it, and she says, oh, no, I'm already there. And you can tell that Luke is an important character, but you can also tell that they didn't necessarily know what to do with him quite yet either. Mm-hmm. And even though he doesn't say much, you can see the chemistry. Mm-hmm. You can feel the burning that he has for Lorelai. And you can feel that protection, that father figure mode that he has over Rory, right? And again, that's why this is the perfect introduction to this character. Even though it's not a lot, there's enough there to be mined to tell you this is what the kind of no nonsense, not screwing around. You know, he tells Lorelai that she's a junkie good for the coffee.
Yes, and she says you're an angel
with wings. Yep. But yeah, I really appreciated Luke in this. And the other thing that stood out to me too was Mrs. Kim.
Yeah,
and I know I mentioned her in the last episode, and I swear this is not going to be a Mrs. Kim episode or Mrs. Kim podcast. But I thought it was really great that you find out that her best friend Rory has her best friend is a Korean girl, and Mrs. Kim immediately runs the antique shop. Mm-hmm. And it's in her house. And it again, it's telling you all of these things about these characters without actually telling you. It's showing you. Mrs. Kim's got plans for Lane, and she's going to go on the hayride with the doctors.
Ugh, what an awkward hayride.
With the older cousin, right? You know, and I love when she when she asks Rory, how do I look, Korean? And Rory's like, yeah, spot on. You can tell, and you immediately know that Mrs. Kim, for whatever reason, because Lorelai is unmarried, really, that Mrs. Kim hates Rory, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And how and it makes you not like her, but it makes you understand where she's coming from a little bit, because she doesn't want Lane to be in the same thing. And she doesn't want Lane to associate necessarily with Rory, because maybe she'll, you know, develop the things and go get pregnant on herself. And she even mentions that to the kids when they're like, did anybody get pregnant? You know, and
yeah.
They're like, and then Rory's busting balls saying that what's her name looked a little glowing. Mm-hmm. So I thought Mrs. Kim stood out pretty well as well. Anything else, my love?
Nope, that's it. Let's jump into our trivia.
Oh, yes. This is one of my favorite parts of this show. So we decided that we were going to do some trivia for every episode. Things that we eventually learned as Gilmore Girls has now finished and has come out. So the first one, Alexis Bledel, who plays Rory, actually cannot stand coffee. Hates it. But her character, Rory, obviously adores it. So her coffee cup in real life wasn't full of coffee or water. She actually put Coke in the Coca-Cola, not real Coke. But she actually put real Coca-Cola in her coffee cup every single time she had a cup of coffee.
I love it with
Lorelai.
Another fun fact for you, Scott Patterson, who plays Luke, was not originally hired to be a series regular. Picture that, guys. Picture the Gilmore Girls.
Yep.
In its entirety without Luke. Mm-hmm. He was only signed on for the pilot episode, but it was only after the discovery of the undeniable chemistry between him and Lauren Graham that he was contracted for more episodes and quickly, of course, became a series regular.
As a matter of fact, the character of Luke was supposed to be written for a woman, but they felt like at the time that there wasn't enough testosterone on the episode.
I would have agreed with
that. They needed to balance it out. And they're right. They were totally right. They needed more of a male presence. If at the very least, to capture somewhat of a male audience.
Well, I would disagree. I think that most of the other male figures in this show were just like caricature figures. Like Dean was the hot guy. And right. Like then you had Kirk, and then you had the troubadour, and then you had, you know, he was like...
Even Richard, too. Little bit of a caricature.
Yeah. So to have Luke, who was like a realistic, more human guy, I think was really good for them.
Keiko Aginu, who plays Lane, was actually 26 years old playing a 15-year-old in season one.
Whatever moisturizer she uses, I need to start using.
Wow. And my love, I know this is going to be probably your favorite bit of trivia.
I'm Googling it because I want to move there. The town of Stars Hollow. So many of us have talked about, God, can we just move to Stars Hollow, please? It's based on a place called Washington Depot in Connecticut. Creator Amy Sherman-Palladino stayed there while on a trip with her husband and took a look at Mark Twain's wallpaper. So that's what she was there for. And then she got kind of this little inspiration.
I think we need to take a Clan Larson needs to go down.
There's a website called findingstarshollow.com, and the tagline is, my quest to find a real-life Stars Hollow as portrayed in Gilmore Girls.
Wow, really? Is this like some
jabroni? Like a list.
Is this some jabroni's like personal blog, or is this like a real thing?
Yeah, it's not a jabroni. I mean, I would never say blogs are jabronis. It's this girl named Amy, and she worked in the media industry, and she like loved Stars Hollow.
Maybe it's Amy Sherman-Palladino.
No, it's a different Amy. But she has a literal list, a master list of towns like Stars Hollow.
Wow.
She scoured blogs, articles, and forums, taking notes from real Connecticut residents and other Gilmore Girls fans who were also on a similar quest. So I'm going to tell you, she has Litchfield, Connecticut.
Wow.
So she has that one down. New Milford, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. There's a gazebo even inside New Milford. Gulford, Connecticut. It has like a nice little, it doesn't have a gazebo, but it has a really nice, what is that, green area.
Right.
Washington Depot, I mean, the actual town that inspired it. So, you know, whatever.
I think Clan Larson needs to take a day trip down to Washington Depot.
And then there's a Kent, Connecticut, where everything is magical when it snows.
Oh.
Yeah. So
enough magic.
We definitely need to take a trip to Washington Depot.
It's like, it was like what, sweetheart?
It's like magic.
Where is it?
It's like magic, says Harry
You're
Potter.
A wizard,
Harry. There you go.
There it is.
Yeah, the actual quote from Amy Sherman-Palladino said, I went on vacation to Connecticut because I wanted to see Mark Twain's house. I stayed at an inn, and it was very charming. In a tiny town, and everyone seemed to know each other. And there's a pumpkin patch across the street.
Aww.
So we definitely are going to be taking a trip there. Any final thoughts on this episode,
it's like
Blake?
Magic.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Final thoughts. I was really impressed by this pilot. Even though it's a little dated, you can tell that it was shot in the late 90s, the hairstyles and the clothing and the fashion. I think it's held up well to today's standards. I think the writing is apt. Even though this is the pilot, the writing is spot on. The introduction to characters, the quick dialogue, the witty dialogue, it just sucks you in. And I can see why immediately people fell in love with this show. I get it. I really, honest to God, I get it. How about you, my love? What are your final thoughts?
I'm just excited to watch everything. I mean, even before we watched the pilot together, we rewatched the trailer for the new episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And these people are like family, and I'm really happy. You know, we talked about how this podcast couldn't come at a better time. Our nation is really going through a lot of emotional, tough stuff right now. And to have such an uplifting show and a heartwarming show, and You get to see a lot of friends and family this time of year, and it's like the Gilmore Girls and their friends and their family are our family. Mm-hmm. So I feel like being able to just rewatch this and talk about it and share things with all of you listening, it's like a big family reunion.
Right. And I actually wanted to echo a statement that I actually read. I know there's been a lot of things going on with the election, a lot of people protesting, and there's a lot of hate going on right now. If I can just contribute one little bit of warmth to this entire situation, I would say I would quote Mark Duplass, who is a very intelligent and funny writer, producer, director. He ended up saying, no matter who was elected, everybody is nobody is forcing anybody to do anything. You can be a good person. You can make good choices. In the end, we will all come back to being us and finding our humanity. So even though you may be upset, or even though you may be extremely happy, just be normal. Just be who you are. Find the love that you have within yourself, and let's move together on as a country.
I think now's a great time to play some music.
Let's do it. Let's close out the show.
So we are officially up in iTunes. You head on into your podcast app on your iPhone, or find your podcast app on your smart device. Head on over and search You've Been Gilmored. We're up there. You can also find us on Facebook by looking for Mary and Blake, because that is our media company. Or you could head on over to maryandblake.co to find all of our other podcasts. We have a podcast about Outlander and a great blog associated with that, OutlanderCast and OutlanderCast blog. We have a podcast about parenting called ParentCast. The Leftovers, we have a podcast about called The Living Reminders. And if you just happen to live in New England, just like the Gilmore Girls, I have a podcast with my friend Ben called Wicked Roadie. You can find all of this and more at maryandblake.co. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to You've Been Gilmored. You've Been Gilmored is a production of Mary and Blake Media. Anything we say, please don't sue us for, because we have no bloody idea what we're talking about pretty much at any time. We just like to watch TV and talk fast.
So don't sue us. That's the thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford it.
I can afford a cup of coffee. That's about it.
Not a vat of coffee. Just one. Unless you go to Luke's, you would get it for free. That'd be good.
That'd be great. Once again, this is a production of Mary and Blake Media.